Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Well, thanks, Steve, and it is a grind, you know, and I think that our guys deserve a lot of credit because they took everyone's best shot, you know, and wasn't always pretty, but I think the one thing that was a constant with this group was that they really defended at a high level, and they really competed every day in practice, and so we're proud of their accomplishments. We took a day to celebrate that. Now we're just really focused on trying to win this Patriot League tournament.
Yeah, there's a cruelty to this, and the cruelty is about what you're about to go through. I mean, you know the rules of the game. Look, your team is good enough, in my opinion, to be one of the 37 at large. They just are. You played a great schedule. You played a schedule where you won a lot of big games along the way. But there's a reality, and it's an unfortunate reality. So you get to all of this. Does your team have to now change a mindset at all in this one-and-done scenario you're in?
You know, I don't think so, Steve, because, you know, I think they've done a great job all year of really just focusing one possession at a time, one game at a time. I think there was a stretch there when we did play with a little bit of weight on our shoulders. You know, guys are almost thinking, well, what if? You know, what if we have this great year and we don't go to the NCAA tournament? And, you know, we can't control that. And what I try to tell our guys is, hey, the legacy of our team is going to be written in a month or 2 months or 3 months. We can't control that. All we can control is, you know, our preparation and our focus level and then go from there. But it is unfortunate because, you know, one bad day, one bad play, one bad official's call, some guy falling on his rear end and hitting a half-court shot can really derail our dreams. But that's the lot of playing in a mid-major league. That's a one-pid league. And so what we just try to tell our guys is, hey, you can't control the uncontrollable. All we can control is our effort and our focus level.
One of the things that we talk about along the way when we get to this is teams, if they have the ability to play at two different speeds, fast at points and also a grind-it-out style, because you're going to hit a game every once in a while that puts you in that spot. Do you feel your team has done a good job at really playing at multiple speeds depending on the tempo of the game?
A reasonably good job. We don't play particularly fast, Steve. You know, so I don't think.
Yeah, you're a low possession team. Yeah.
Yeah, we're a low possession team because that's kind of how we're built. When we played up, when we played the high major teams, we wanted to build a style that was going to play to being able to play with the high major teams. So you want to control possessions, want to slow the game down. We're also a team. You know, we're bigger than the vast majority of teams in our league. So there's a lot of teams that put 4 or 5 3-point shooters out on the floor. So we want to limit possessions in that regard. So, I think we've been a team that's tried to limit teams in transition and keep them off the glass and not turn the ball over and take a good shot every time down the floor. And I do think in postseason play, generally speaking, the games do slow down a little bit. So I'm hopeful that that will help us. And certainly we're playing at home, and hopefully that'll help us as well.
A lot of games are won today in the combination of the two lines, the free throw line in combination with the 3-point line. How important has that formula been to Bucknell's success so far?
Well, I think pretty good. We're not shooting the ball from the foul line as well as we have the last 2 years. That's a little disconcerting. We've had some good free throw shooters have some bad performances at the line. We certainly shoot a ton of them every day in practice. And we've really tried to emphasize the need to do that. We've done a very good job of not fouling our opponents. You know, I think we're in the top 20 in fewest fouls committed, and we've taken considerably more free throws than our opponents. And then I think one area that we've improved on significantly defensively is our 3-point field goal percentage defense. As we got to conference play, we play a lot of teams now that different than the high major teams that maybe are very, very athletic and don't shoot the ball particularly well. We play a lot of teams in our league that put four guards on the floor and shoot the three a lot. And we've really focused on guarding outside the arc. And fortunately, we can kind of push guys to the interior where Mike Muscala has been a real force in the paint.
it struck me in being, you know, briefly around your team and then talking to you, this is not a big ego team. How important has that been for you as a coach to deal with guys that are so grounded?
Well, it's a lot of fun, and it's a joy to be around those guys. And I think every team has to, every good team has to have a star or two that can go make a great individual play. You know, a lot of times late in games and big games, guys got to be able to go and make a play. But more often than that, if you have a star who's not humble, those teams tend to get destroyed from within. So we're very fortunate. You know, Mike Mescal is clearly the guy we play through. He's as humble and self-effacing a guy as you'd be around. Cameron Ayers has shown the ability to really put the team on his back at times. He's very, very down to earth. And then I think one of the keys, you know, they just announced the all-conference teams, and Mike was the player of the year, defensive player of the year. Cameron was first-team all-league. But the two guys that don't get the credit they deserve, Bryson Johnson and Joe Willman, who would be first-team all-league players if they play for any other team in the league, and have really sacrificed for the good of our team.
And that's important. Now you have Navy coming up. You just played Navy. And I've seen this before in conference tournaments. I remember one year Penn State didn't played Indiana. They had Eric Gordon and those guys. They beat them, then they had to come back and play them again. When you play them back-to-back, you have the familiarity. Is there anything that is different this time around in playing it back-to-back, or you just go out and just play the dang thing?
I think we just go out and play the thing. You know, I think the one good thing, the one good thing from our perspective is if it was a new team, we maybe have to spend both today and tomorrow in preparation. And today we can actually just kind of practice and just work on us and just try to focus on us getting better. And then Tuesday, just really focus on exactly what Navy does.
You gave up just 46 against them. Let's just throw them out of the equation. How well did your team defend, and was it did they play at a defensive level that a coach needs to see at this time of the year?
Yes, absolutely. Our guys really were locked in defensively. And, you know, there was no, you know, we'd clinched our seed. We, you know, on paper, hey, you know, we should win this game. And there was none of that from our guys. And we really defended at a high level. And the 46 points they got, I bet you 25 to 30 more earned baskets, some tough hoops. So, but we know, you know, we're going to get the best shot on Wednesday, and you know, we got to be as focused defensively as always.
What does it mean to play in Soica at this time of the year?
Well, it's just a great, you know, it's a great arena to play in, and we get a great following, great home court support. To be very, very candid with you, terrific support from the community. Not as good support from our student body as I would like to see, which is a little bit disappointing given that this is kind of a historic team here at Bucknell.
I'm baffled by this. Dave, I've been baffled by that, to be frank with you. I'll say it. You don't have to say it. I'll say it. I'm baffled by this. Okay, to everybody in the student body at Bucknell, okay, I watch a lot of basketball, obviously, and have for a lot of years. You have no idea how damn good your team is.
Well, thank you for saying that. I don't know how, you know, again.
I can say it. You don't have to.
It's hard to fathom because you're not going to have a much better team, nor will you have a better group of individuals. Like these kids on our team. They're in every class with the other students, and they're performing exceptionally well in the classroom, and they're not acting like a bunch of idiots on campus. So, you know, I think it's an easy team to rally around, in addition to the fact that it's a pretty good group. And, you know, so hopefully they'll show out in force on Wednesday. If we're fortunate enough to win, the students actually go on spring break and we'll be gone for our semifinals and if we get to the finals. But it also frees up some tickets that have, you know, the way they structured here, that we can't sell all the seats because we reserve seats for the student body. So there'll be more seats available for the general public to purchase tickets, and I'm pretty optimistic that those sales will go well.
Dave, you know, it's always a pleasure on my part to sit down and talk hoops with a guy that I love talking hoops with. So appreciate it very much, and best of luck against Navy, and we'll talk next week.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Dave Paulson, what a job he has done. And I'll tell you right now, to the student body at Bucknell, my goodness, you've been handed an opportunity to see a team that went toe-to-toe against Missouri, that has gone out and won some big games. They went to West Lafayette and beat Purdue. I'm telling you firsthand, as somebody who has done 20 games in Mackey Arena's career, it's not easy to do it. You should be out there. I mean, these are your fellow students. You should be out there and a part of what's going on your campus. You have to appreciate what you have. Somebody we appreciate what we've had in a long time at Bloomsburg is Danny Hale. And we'd like to bring Danny in right now, who's been waiting on hold for a period of time. Danny, thank you for waiting. We appreciate that. Congratulations on just a great, great career. What went into the decision to say, you know what, now's the time?
First of all, I want to say congratulations to Bucknell especially. Have a little allegiance over there. 6 years of my life over there, and I was just over Wednesday night for the American game. And I, too, teased the students how to pour out on that one. So, anyway, what prompted this? Was that your question? I'm sorry, Steve.
Yeah. Why did you sit down and say, you know what, this is the right time?
It's evolved. I've had some health issues, nothing serious, but enough to just nag you, and then you just don't heal as fast anymore. So that 11th grandchild being born, family spread across the country, so all the above. And then there's a point to where I just think you need to move, step aside. I am 66, the realization, hey, I'm on the downside there, and pass the baton, and I have a great staff that I wanted to have an opportunity to see what they can do and keep the program going. We have a great group of men back next year, so the cupboard wasn't bare. I like to, in some ways, in a selfish way, go on another year because there's a great group of young men coming back for this 2013 season. But you stir that all in the pot, and I believe I'm out the window. I just hoping that parachute opens, though. You know?
better than Brian Cashman from the Yankees, who broke his ankle. I want to get to a couple things for you. This is a question I've been asked in my career, so I'm going to ask it to you. What was it about Bloomsburg that said, you know what, I like it here, and even though there are other opportunities out there, I want to stay? Why did you stay?
Well, one is this town, this area is just a super people, a great place to raise a family. You have great access to medical facilities with Geisinger right next door. Any major tertiary care or anything like that, the caregiving, plus my own backyard was Bloomsburg Hospital, now part of Geisinger. Those are things for a family. I had two children here at the time, still living with us when I first took the job. So the area just sort of grew on you. The university, right size, the student-athletes I'm dealing with. I'm dealing with a lot of still first-generation type individuals, feel that you can make impact in lives. So the campus community has just been outstanding. That and bottom line was it. I took it 1 year at a time. I had no idea. I reflect back, and I've been here 20 years. It's just, I can't even fathom it. In fact, the class is all run on, too. What class were you? So it's just a great place. I have no regrets. Sometimes people are looking at finances and prestige and ego and all that stuff, and I put that in the back burner, and I just check out for family, your family experience, and things that I wanted to get do here. I have some other mission statements that I feel I'm involved in, and was able to continue those with this atmosphere.
What has been more gratifying to you, the signature wins, the great teams, or being a teacher of men?
I would favor the bottom. I'm still, I'm real pleased that I've been able to look back in those 20 years, 25 years as a head coach, and say that I don't have to verbally, physically put down, abuse, cuss them. I don't have to do that in order to gain success. I'm not just a nice guy. If you talk, I can get in anybody's face and yell and do those type things, but there is a major difference. I know there's winning coaches out there and people that do that. I don't subscribe to it, and I say that, is it a place where I'd want to send my own child? And I did. My own son played for us, and I've been able to surround myself with men who share that same philosophy, and we're able to produce. I still am old school. I like, you're a student athlete. Big time sports is, boy, it's changed. And I don't want to go there, but right. I'm still the student athlete. Kids are coming here to get education, be part of the educational experiences, the athletics, and along with it, we're going to play the best we can. And I believe that here we have produced guys that's gone on to another level, and particularly Jyree Evans at a pinnacle level. That's not my goal necessarily, but it is achievable even with all this. So I look back and you mentioned Bucknell. I just got a letter from one of my former players at Bucknell in 1978. He played for me, and I want to tell you, it teared me up. And he was, admittingly by his own self, he was a third-team guy, but I just treated him with respect, and I didn't put him down and run him off, and learned how to snap a ball, and had a great career, and went to Wall Street, and now he's down getting Fannie Mae straightened out in D.C. That just came right before I was retiring. So those are things. I got a bunch of those letters that you could go into. That's what it's about, and that's what coaching is about.
What about the men that you work with in those coaches' meetings year after year who subscribe to the same philosophy you did on and off the field? What have those relationships meant to you?
Oh, my gosh. That's where it's at. The head coach, I'm a focal. You sort of put it together and stuff as a head coach, and I've been one that I believe in delegation, that you hire somebody to do a job, you expect them to do it, and allow them to do it is allow them to make that mistake, try and guide them in the right way, try and put people in the right positions where they can succeed and do find out what their strengths are rather than dwelling on weaknesses and petty and browbeat and all that stuff. And so I've surrounded myself, as I said, with some great coaches that have stuck with me, too. Their loyalty goes both ways. I've been loyal to them, and they've been extremely loyal to me. Brian McBrien, offensive coordinator, been with me since I started here. Billy Perkins, 20 years. He came a year after. And Paul Dara, who's now acting head coach, will be for this 2013 the head coach. And Paul's been with me, was starting his 17th season, Chad Hennicle. So I can go down the line and pass coaches that have gone on and elsewhere in their coaching careers, from the NFL, Division I, and head coaches. So it's just very, very gratifying to it's part of the family. All those guys are part of my family.
You've referenced family several times. You can't go through this unless you have people at home that let you recruit, let you work hour after hour, rack up a DVD, or in the old days, rack up some film and do it at an odd hour. And how special has that been to have partners like that?
Amen. I just celebrated March the 1st, our 44th anniversary, with
Congratulations.
A superwoman. Diana is special, and certainly wouldn't be here without her guidance and support. Four children, 11 grandkids, as we talked about. But that does take a special person. Early in our career, when I was away, it was hard for her to understand. Probably the best thing that happened to me is I took a four-year hiatus from college ball, bought a motel down in Hershey, and we had to work together, so she couldn't wait for me to get back. So that's why I've been here 20 years, I think. You know, get him out of here.
She remembers those four years.
Yeah, get him out of here. I don't care that dinner gets cold, you know, and all those type things. So that she's special in 44 years. And so now we're another chapter here. We'll see how this goes. I'm a little different attitude now.
Yeah. One final question. Now, in an era where you talked about power conference, Division I-A, FBS, and FCS football, what is the future based on the talent level you see out there in high schools of Division II football?
Well, I don't see any downfall. My worry is for a football period at the lower levels is the helmet issue.
Yeah.
That's scary. We're litigating there, and again, I'm not going to be prejudicial, but that's part of the sport. I got a real problem with some of this stuff, and it seems like the legality part and this, you know, with the lawsuits and the money is so up there, but that could be a downfall to the sport's going to be an erosion, because if they make it so much to where helmet companies and everybody to the cost of outfitting somebody becomes prohibitive, then I'm not sure where our game's going to go. So that's probably my biggest concern. And also what's happening in big-time sports, pricing ourselves out of it to where, man, $5 million for a coach even, that's a lot of money now.
Yeah.
And the price of a ticket, the stadiums, it's a war out there. I can remember from 20-some, 30 years ago, and up the road an hour and 20 minutes west of here, and sitting with Coach, and he's talking about the keep up with the Jones war there, that you had to go out, you know, your lockers then had to be that much nicer, your locker rooms with the special carpet now, the lockers themselves of mahogany wood or whatever it might be, you know.
Right.
It's just, whoa. Right. And so our level, though, they're still out there. There's some great kids coming to D2. This PSAC conference is chock full of some outstanding athletes, and some of those kids will rise, a small part, but will rise and play at the next level.
Danny, a privilege. I congratulate you on a great career. I congratulate your wife on 44 years.
Putting up with me. Oh, yeah. Thanks, pal. Throw me under the bus.
That's okay. You can throw me under the bus right now, too, if you want.
Yes,
I'm
right.
In the same boat.
God bless. Thanks. Thanks for thinking of me.
Dan, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Danny Hope. Danny Hale, the head football coach at Bloomsburg, and Danny Hale with an absolutely incredible career, where he went 173-56-1. And Danny Hale's a very, very special coach. Overall, in 25 years, he won 213 games and ranked in the top five among active coaches in NCAA Division II in winning percentage of victories. Danny Hale, a very special person in our area, and he's decided to retire. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout and make your deal today, because these cars could be at an auction tomorrow, like a 2012 Hyundai Elantra four-door sedan GLS just $15,943, a 2010 Ford Transit Connect wagon four-door XLT, lowest price guaranteed $16,496, 2003 Ford Mustang Premium Mach 1 just $69,996, 2011 Ford F-150 regular cab $17,955, and a 2011 Jeep Wrangler Unlimited four-wheel drive just 5,100 miles only $39,99. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915. 888-536-8017.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Shiklubby's going to take on Abington Heights. Boy, I'll tell you, what a power half hour that was, getting Dave Paulson on from Bucknell. And I think everyone knows the immense respect I have for Dave, and especially for his program and what they've done this year, and for Danny Hale. So we appreciate both of them very much. And again, this goes back to, you know, obviously I'm located at Penn State University. And I am around, obviously, elite programs, elite athletes all the time here. I mean, you know, let's face it, is Penn State basketball having the greatest season? No, but, gee, I've seen Indiana, Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Minnesota, all up close and personal this year. I mean, so I see the best all the time. And, of course, we know what Penn State football did this year. You know, so being around a Joe Paterno, being around a Bill O'Brien, being around a Patrick Chambers, and before that, Ed DeCellis and Jerry Dunn and Dick Harder and Bruce Parkhill. So I've been around, you know, really good coaches along the way, and I've seen great moments. Well, here in the Valley, a Danny Hale is an absolute gem to have. What he's done with the program, what he's done in the PSAC, what he's done with young men. Dave Paulson is another guy, absolute gem. Three Patriot League championships? That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen in the Patriot Leagues. Too balanced. But he's done it. And I feel the same way, by the way, about Joe Susan. And now they're in a one-bid league. I mean, the pressure is now going to be ratcheted up. But if they handle it the way they've handled everything else, they'll handle this. What about Abington Heights and Shiklemy? Kev, date, time, airtime.
It'll be Friday night. It's going to be at Lackawanna College, so we'll be in Scranton Friday night. Tip-off is scheduled for 7:30. Airtime will be 7:06. Steve, you know what that means? I'm not going to be able to join you for the biggest part of the show on Friday. I know it's breaking your heart. I know, but I'll try and find an adequate fill-in for you.
Okay. All right. So, trying to contain the joy.
I'm sure you are. I hate to tell you, but it'll probably be Sarah Bartlett will be filling in for me on Friday before we head to face Abington Heights. Yes. Should be an entertaining game, though. As I said, there's a lot of good shooters for Abington Heights, including the guy in the middle, Jason Bramford, who had 25 the other night, had 10 rebounds, 3 blocks. Actually, I think he had 10 points and a dunk, or actually 10 points and 3 dunks in the first half last week in the District 2 championship game. So Braves are going to have another tough guy inside to try and control.
Look, everybody's good this time of the year.
You're right.
All right. Now, there's only one team that goes into this PIAA tournament that I can tell you right now is going to win it. That's Chester. There's nobody going to beat Chester, okay? Okay, nobody's going to win.
And for those of you listening, for the Milton-Scranton Prep, Milton will take on Scranton Prep. By the way, a team that took Abington Heights to double overtime in the semifinals. Scranton Prep finishing third in District 2. That game has not yet been announced. As soon as it is, we'll let you know.
Very nice. Well done.
Can you see I've already started my prep for Friday?
Where's Buhner on Friday?
I don't know. That's a good question. Well, you'll have to find out.
I mean, you're fine. You can go wherever you want. Where's Buhner on Friday?
I don't know. I'm sure he'll be available. Well, maybe he's going to a game. Maybe Buehner has. Maybe Buehner's going down to States for wrestling. I didn't even think about that, but it could be
at States for wrestling. Yeah, that could very well be. I've got the Penn State basketball show tomorrow night, 6 to 7 with Patrick Chambers, and then at Northwestern Thursday, 7 o'clock with a 6:30 airtime, then Wisconsin here at noon on Sunday with 11:30 airtime. Now, Dave Paulson said, he said, we don't play a lot of possessions. Dave, you look like Speedy Gonzalez next to what Bo does. Okay. I mean, football on wood, my man. Football on wood. Bo can't be happy after the weekend. Purdue beat him up at Cole.